researchers estimate that we have 5 times more information bombarding us daily than we did just 40 years ago. It's the equivalent of 174 newspapers a day, or 100,000 words per day. Television produces 85,000 hours of original content every day worldwide. Americans watch 5 hours of television a day on average. That's a lot. YouTube, which isn't even included with watching TV, is uploading 144,000 hours of new material globally per day. That's how much information is bombarding us constantly. And computer games actually outnumber all other media content 5 to 1. But there are no warning labels that usually come with such consumption that we have. There's no warning for us to avoid the overloading of our minds and our spirits with the chaos and confusion that is constantly bombarding us. There's more and more evidence that we not only can only process so much that it's not even good for our brains, and it's not good, certainly, for our spirits. One of the threads we see in our gospel reading this morning and past weeks is the relentless demand of ministry upon Jesus, how Jesus was bombarded by people constantly. This took a toll on Jesus. Even though he was human, or even though he was the Son of God, he was also human. He had a human brain, a body of flesh and blood, and apparently a really, truly human tolerance for all that which is bombarding him through his life and ministry. The crowds are like the paparazzi following him everywhere. They're stalking him. They're following him everywhere he's going. They're going ahead of him to meet him where he's trying to escape them. And so Jesus flees to the mountain over and over again to find a quiet place, to find a place of solitude, to be alone. His disciples, this time, are with him on the mountain. And as their good shepherd, he makes them to lay down in green pastures. He makes them sit in a remote place, a space filled with grass, our text says, enough to feed the 5,000 that he is about to feed. Last week's gospel had a similar invitation for the disciples who were feeling exhausted and overwhelmed by the world. He said to them, "Come away with me to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest for a while." Jesus is the good shepherd now who leads his people to the quiet waters. He leads them to a place of rest and respite. He leads them into the wilderness, and here he will feed them just as God fed his people Israel the manna, the bread from heaven, and satisfy them heart and soul. But notice that Jesus also takes care of himself. He watches his own tolerance for all of the attention that he's getting. He understands his own need to remain strengthened. He thirsts, he hungers, he's worn out by the demands of the world just like you and me. He does not want the concerns and the confusion of the world to weigh him down so much that he is utterly exhausted. The crowds have now eaten to their satisfaction. They've experienced this miracle. The disciples will soon experience the miracle of him walking on water, and now they want to make him king by force, though it's not his time, though it's not the kind of king they are likely looking for. But Jesus knows the thoughts and intentions of their hearts, and it's not aligned with what Jesus plans to do as he sets his face toward Jerusalem into Calvary. But Jesus takes time to monitor his own heart and his own condition. And when he realizes that they are about to take him and make him king by force, our text says, he withdraws again by himself up to the mountain. One 4th century pastor, Chrysostom, said this: Jesus went up to the mountain. It's a lesson for you and me that we need to retire from the tumult and confusion of life. Solitude is needed to gain wisdom. Jesus often went up alone to the mountain in order to pray, and sometimes spent the night there. He did this in order to teach us that if we want to come near God, we must at times be free of the disturbance of the world and must seek times and places away from all the confusion. This is similar, isn't it, to what Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us to go into our prayer closet. He tells us to go to a place of solitude and quiet so that God will hear our prayers in secret as we pray in secret, and he will reward us in secret. He rewards us with the assurance of his presence, his grace, and his peace. In the book of Acts, we'll see the early church go into Europe for the first time. And you know where they go to find fellow believers? They go to a river near the city. They go outside the city to a solitude place, supposing that it was a place of prayer, and they might find somebody praying there. And lo and behold, they find Lydia. Lydia is praying by the river. She hears the gospel, and she comes to believe in Jesus as her Savior and her Lord. So God leads his people, Israel, out of slavery and out of bondage in Egypt, away from Egypt, into the wilderness, to a place of solitude and quiet, and there he feeds them the manna and the bread of heaven, just as Jesus feeds the 5,000 and satisfies them body and soul. Our reading from Ephesians gives us the same encouragement. It's worth taking some time, maybe tonight or tomorrow morning, just to read this prayer that Paul has for you and for me, to take the bulletin home and just reflect on these words. I'll just highlight a few. He prays that we would be strengthened in the inner being through his Spirit, that Christ might dwell in our hearts, rooted and grounded in love, and that this love surpasses knowledge. In other words, it's not an intellectual assent, but it is a heart knowledge. It's a faith that lays hold of Jesus. And it's able to accomplish, he says, abundantly, far more than all we could ask or even imagine. In other words, this peace and this grace will blow our minds. And so it teaches us something also about prayer, that Jesus would go up into the mountain by himself to pray. It teaches us that prayer is more about what God is doing in us to change us than what we are saying to God in order to change him. Go into the wilderness with me, Jesus says. Let me help you sort through the archives of your soul. Take my yoke upon you, you weary and heavy laden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take a vacation away from your weariness and from your worry, and find your rest in me. Even if just for 20 minutes a day, I would encourage you to find your peace and your rest in Christ, to take a moment, to go on a daily retreat away from the worries and weariness of this world, and to do what Jesus did daily, maybe even nudging you or me to go on an actual retreat away for a weekend, to get away from it all, to take a vacation away. Not a shortcut to power like the crowds were tempting Jesus to take him by force and make him king, but rather embracing the cross of Calvary. Jesus shows us the way to this wisdom when wearied by the confusion and chaos, to take a step away, which is really a giant leap toward this peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus will not allow himself to be completely overwhelmed by the world. Instead, Jesus will overwhelm the world by his love and by his peace. He'll overwhelm sin, the devil, and even death, by his resurrection, by his forgiveness, and by the assurance of eternal life. And so Christ becomes our Prince of Peace, a place of sacred solitude to find rest for those who are wearied and worried. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.